Glad to see you today. Welcome to our second service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. So glad to have you with us today. And joining me on stage is our outreach minister. This is Grant Wright. And Grant actually sort of grew up in our church, but he's not a kid anymore. He's 30 plus. And he brings...
Got my beard these days.
Yeah. He brings legitimate skills and juice to the table. We really, really appreciate all that he does. And what we're going to do today is talk a little bit. You know, November is such a fun month here because it's a month where we emphasize our missions ministry, our outreach ministries. And today we want to do that in a very, very specific way, in a hands-on way, highlight a lot of works that you make possible. And you make it possible through your energy, you make it possible through your tithes and your offerings. One of the things that I like to emphasize here at the outset is that, you know, and every week in our order of worship, you see it lists our, you know, contribution total, etc. And you'll see a little emblem there. It says ECFA. ECFA stands for the Evangelical Council for Fiscal Accountability. Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It is the good housekeeping seal of approval for churches and nonprofit groups. It is not easy to get that approval, that good housekeeping seal of approval. What that means, though, is that your tithes and offerings, your dollars and cents that are given and donated here, we take that very, very seriously. Outside audits are done so that we can have this ECFA seal of approval, and it simply means that the way we raise money, the way we spend money and manage money from outside agencies, they look in and say it's being handled well. We take the dollars and cents that you give to the cause of Christ here, we take that very, very seriously. And we want you to know that. Our theme this month is Seek and Save, which comes from a statement that Jesus made when he was giving his own elevator speech as to his mission on earth. He described it like this out of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. That which has been misplaced, that which is not where it needs to be. And listen, where you need to be is with the Lord. And if you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're misplaced. We'd love to help you take your steps in His direction. All right, so let's talk a little bit today about how all of us can be supporting cast members and helping the Lord get the message of His Son throughout the world. Grant, if there are a couple of things from an overall perspective you'd love for people in our church to know about our outreach ministries, about our mission works, what would be a couple of those overarching points?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's probably two main things that I really want us to understand about our missions. And the first one is just our holistic approach to missions. And we talked a little bit about this the other day, but we're really wanting to take care of the physical needs as well as the spiritual needs of the person. And you know, a couple weeks ago, I used the analogy of the jacket and how we have 11 missional approaches. 11 elements in our missional approach. And so in that, on this side of the jacket, we've got our physical needs that we're taking care of. And we see that with Jesus as he's going out and doing ministry. One of the first things he does as he comes into a place is he heals the sick, right? So we want to acknowledge that, and we want to take care of physical needs that are in the community. But at the heart of what he's doing on this side of that jacket is discipleship. He's proclaiming the gospel everywhere he goes, and he's taking care of the physical as well as the spiritual needs of people everywhere he goes. And so for our church to just understand, that's our mission, that's our call, and that's what we want to see happen, is really taking care of that whole person as we're going out in mission. And the second piece that that I think is crucial for us to get is we have a mission vision that not only is for to the ends of the earth, to Nepal and Uganda and Colombia and all these places we're going, but it's the same mission vision for right here in Sugar Land, Texas. This is not something that's two separate visions, but this is something that we feel called to regardless of whether we're in Sugar Land or in Four Corners or going to the ends of the earth. And so I think that's important for us to understand as we as the mission team is going out and executing. And last week was a blessing having Dan Buchel come and share with us, and he just did a great job of being able to cast some vision for the globalization that's happening around the world, as well as how that's coming and affecting our city here. But I love the heart of what he had behind it, and that was just crucial for us as a church to just hear God's heart for the nations. And this isn't just Americans sending our folks to the nations. This is other nations that are coming and sending folks around the world, and we're joining in what God's doing, and we're wanting to find where is he moving and how can we join him in that mission. And so excited about that, and excited about the nations that he's brought before us. This is such a unique thing that we have here in Sugar Land to be able to enjoy that.
So sort of connecting with that, talk a little bit about our Friends Speak ministry here. Mm-hmm. You know, virtually, if you've been here 2, 3, 4 weeks at all, you've heard the term Friends Speak. But assume somebody doesn't know what Friends Speak ministry is. Explain it. Explain the significance of it, and how they can participate if they'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely. So in a nutshell, Friends Speak is an English conversation program. So if you've got an hour a week and you can speak English, you can be a part of this program. And what's been phenomenal for us to see, just coming back to that first thing of a holistic ministry approach, I mean, this ministry is built on building relationships, and so we're caring for these people that are coming into our building, but at the heart of it is the gospel. The book that we use is the Gospel of Luke, and we start with that, and so on a weekly basis, we're talking about Jesus with these folks. This program is only about 2.5 years old. It's grown to be one of the biggest in the world, which is just unbelievable. And there was two things that we knew, or one thing that we knew when we started, and one unexpected. What we knew was the demand was going to be huge from this community of how they wanted this program, and that's certainly proved to be true. But the one unexpected thing that we didn't foresee was how many UPGs were going to be coming into this program. So a quick show of hand, who knows what a UPG is? Because that's an important term that I want us to understand as a church. So UPG is Unreached People Group. Say that with me, Unreached People Group. So how you define that is it's a population that's less than 2% evangelical, less than 2%. So this is a very, very small percent of these people groups or this country that do not know Christ. So, can anybody tell me the percentage of people in our Friends Speak program that are UPGs? 64%. 64% of the folks that we're serving here on a weekly basis are made up of UPGs, which is just phenomenal. And the group that we've had trained here at the church, we've had about 300 folks come through that training and are equipped. Currently, we've got over 100 volunteers that are active reading with one or two or three people on a weekly basis, and it's just phenomenal to see. But as I talked about earlier, just with that demand that has come from the community, I mean, what we see is, you know, from Luke chapter 10, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are, yeah, they're few. So we need more harvesters in the field to keep up with this demand. And so we've got a training that's coming up. You can come sign up for that at Volunteer Central. We would love to get you plugged in and involved there because the need is there, and they're ready and accepted, ready to jump in.
If somebody today wanted to, you know, sign me up, I want to participate, want to volunteer, they can sign up today in our lobby, right?
Absolutely.
Over 100 active FriendSpeak readers right now. We have 39 people on a waiting list, 39 people waiting for somebody to read with them. Listen, there's no guarantee that you sit down and read the Gospel of Luke with someone that that person's going to become a Christian. It's not about that. It's about sowing the seed and being a friend. Everybody can be a friend. Everybody can sow a seed. You can't harvest what you don't sow. And so you sow the seed knowing that either now or later, maybe in your life, maybe someone else, you're just sowing that seed. And the Lord promises that good will come, but you can't harvest what you don't sow. Mm-hmm. And listen, in doing this Bible reading, you have a chance to tell your story, share your testimony. Somebody says, well, I don't really have a testimony. Yes, you do. Well, I don't really have an exciting, dramatic story. You don't have to have a dramatic story to have a solid testimony. You don't have to have a bad story to have a good testimony. A good testimony is simply how you became a Christian. A good testimony is simply the work of the Lord in your life. Somebody came up to me after our first service today, and they were just saying, you know, I have a couple of friends speak readers, and it was wonderful. Not too long ago, they just asked me, they said, why do you do this? Why do you do this? And they said, I'm just trying to pass along the kindness of Jesus, trying to pass along the mercy of God. Grant talked to us a little bit in our handout today. There's a handout that lists 9 upcoming short-term mission trips. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about, I tell you what, before you talk to us about these short-term mission trips, let's take a moment and watch a video about this. So let's watch the video first.
First Colony Church of Christ is committed to globally sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The whole time I was in Colombia, all I can keep thinking was, I want people from First Colony to join me next year because they can do this. And the life-changing experience it was for me, I just wanted to tell everybody, come with me next year.
One of the highlights of my trip was actually just it was being there with my daughter, being there with Annalisa, just getting to experience Haiti and this wonderful work that we were getting to do together.
It was fun being able to talk to Dad in the morning, like he said, on the rooftops and everyone's still asleep, and just being able to say, like, what are we going to do today? Or what was your favorite part yesterday? Or how is God helping here? And that was really fun, just to be able to share our day and everything.
It was
share
great.
It together.
It was wonderful.
Yes, I want to go back, and yes, I am going back. We're going back July of 2017 with another group of seniors. I'm leading the trip again, and I want seniors and their parents to go with me. Specifically, I want their parents to go with me too. One, because we need the adult volunteers for this trip, and two, because it is such, it's a memory that students and their parents will never forget.
I think I was texting my husband while I was still on the trip that I couldn't wait to come back next year, and that I really didn't want to wait a whole year to go back. I feel so much of a pull to want to go down there, to the point that now we've already planned trying to get our family down there as a family trip. My husband's gone. I went last year, took one of our daughters, and now that's pretty much going to be our next family vacation, is that we want to all share in it together, because so much of what our Christian life is our family. And as our family, we want to go down there and experience it all together.
From the time we decided that we were going to go to Uganda, from the time of trying to prepare our boys for what they might see and what they might experience, through our time actually in Uganda visiting with the Tuckers and visiting the town church as well as one of the village churches, and even on the trip home, just the doors that were open to talk with our kids and as a family about how blessed we really are. And with those blessings come great responsibility and great expectations from God. And to also talk about just how God transcends all places, that his power, his grace, his mercy, his love for us knows no bounds, whether it's in Uganda, Africa, or Sugar Land, Texas.
My favorite part of the trip was meeting everybody and going into their houses and playing with everybody that we met.
Okay, Grant, talk to us a little bit about some of the short-term mission trip opportunities coming up in 2017, and why you think, first of all, why you think a short-term mission trip is a really good choice, a viable option for folks.
Absolutely. So, I mean, just personally, Ronnie, I don't know if I'd be here today if it wasn't for the first short-term trip that I took to Lipetsk, Russia. Mm-hmm. And I was 17 years old, and I didn't really know what I was getting into. The reason I went was because I kept hearing all these people coming back and talking about being changed and then this just awesome thing that would happen on these short-term mission trips. And mainly I was going to just figure out what they were talking about. Like, I've been a Christian all my life. What are you experiencing that I'm not? And I'll tell you, I went and it did. It changed me forever. And I'll leave it at that because I want you to go and do the same, right? No. But it is. It's an amazing experience. We've got 9 great opportunities this year. And for our church here, you know, the vision that I'd want to cast here today is just think about maybe going on one time in your lifetime. You know, this isn't something that you're doing on a weekly basis or maybe even annual, but what is it one time? What is one place that the Lord might be calling you or your family to be able to go? And the impact that it's had on me and so many families from this church, it not only blesses the nations, but it just blesses our relationship with the Lord and our understanding as we just learn to lean in Him and to follow and to trust and to make disciples.
And talk to us a little bit. I mean, it's a you know, pretty enticing list here, but are there any new mission trip destinations upcoming in 2017?
We do have a new one. So I want to get a quick survey here, show of hands. Who likes the outdoors? All right, excellent. Any campers out there? Anybody ever gone camp? Yeah, we got some campers. Anybody that's ever done a marathon or MS-150, getting some real good endurance out there, excellent. Maybe wilderness trek or hiked a mountain. All right, so the Lord has uniquely prepared you for this opportunity. Next year, we are going to Nepal, which has 8 of the 10 highest mountains in the world, and we're going to have a team putting on their back all their gear and hiking into the Himalayas to go to some of these UPGs, these unreached people groups. And in Nepal, there is great opportunity here because there's a lot of human trafficking there. There's a lot of disadvantaged children. They're getting displaced from their homes. And they need the hope that we have. They need to be able to hear the gospel. They need to be able to see and experience His love. And so I want to be sitting here next year and be talking about the teams that we sent into the no place left, some of the hardest reaches to go into the Himalayas, and be rejoicing and seeing at the fruit. So that's going to be a really unique opportunity, and I would love to see our church go to the ends of the earth to accomplish that.
Okay. Thanks, Grant. One last question. One of the highlighted mission works that we've been privileged to be a part of has been in Uganda. When you were a teenager, you did an internship in Uganda. Shane Gage on our church ministry staff was one of our missionaries to Uganda for 10 years. And it's just been a joy and a privilege for us to serve Uganda. Talk to us, give us sort of an update on the Uganda mission work. I realize we have thumbprints, our church has fingerprints all over the globe. But Uganda is near and dear to our hearts. So give us a little update on where Uganda stands in terms of our mission partnership and what's on the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely. So So this has been a work that many of y'all have been involved in. There's been a lot of time, a lot of energy that's placed in that. And we've seen great fruit from the original three families that have gone. Our very own Shane Gage has been there, served, and it's just been amazing to see. We've been on the ground for about 19 years, have seen over 2,000 disciples made. And we're talking about, that's like another first colony that's over in Umbarara, Uganda, among the Ankole people group. 15 healthy churches that have been planted. I mean, this is pretty amazing, the global family that First Colony has been able to make that imprint that you're talking about, Ronnie. And so from the beginning, this started with nothing, with those families that went over, and we've been able to see the progress from leading everything to then just kind of assisting and modeling and seeing these leaders from Uganda rising up, and now they're leading their own people. And now we're really in a season where we're able to start just stepping back, watching them lead the work, and really just kind of partnering with them. So we've gone from starting and leading everything to kind of shepherding the movement, and now we're just kind of being partners in ministry with them. And it's awesome to see just the love and the passion and just their heart to go spread the gospel and make disciples. They're doing it.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. I mean, it really is. That's just fantastic to hear how that Uganda work is at a stage where it's self-sustaining.
Yeah.
You have disciples who are now grown to the point where they are leaders, which is God's call for all of us, not to stay immature, but to become mature and to become an influencer of others. And what's going on in Uganda, we praise God for it, and we honor Him. And this year is the 2017 is the 20th anniversary, and they're going to celebrate this, right?
Yeah, this is going to be really fun. We're sending back the original three guys, so they're going to go get to be on the ground and celebrate with the growth and the leaders there. And we're also going to have a big celebration here over Memorial Day weekend, which is going to be a really special time. All the missionaries and their families that have ever been there are going to be back here. It's going to be like 60-something people, including all the kids and everything. But just have a time to celebrate and rejoice what the Lord has done. And we're hoping to even maybe have a simulcast on a Sunday morning where we can worship and celebrate with the church family over there while we're here on a Sunday morning and
Fantastic.
Just be able to celebrate
great.
What the Lord's done in that movement.
All right, Grant, thanks so much. Now, what undergirds all this? The foundation for all of this is that we're motivated by mercy. Freely we have received, and so freely we want to give, says Scripture. Jesus one time was talking to a group of religious people who thought they were fairly sophisticated and experts in the Bible. And here's what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 9. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." One more time, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." And I want you to go and learn what this means. Jesus is telling people who they think they are biblical experts. And he says, "I need you to go and learn what this means." And now Jesus will quote from the Old Testament. He will quote Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." My friends, when we have mercy, first of all, you're going to read the Bible differently. Jesus told those people who thought they were biblical experts, "You're not reading the Bible right." Anytime you read the Bible in a way that writes some people outside of God's story, you're not reading it accurately, because God wants His mercy to come to all. "Oh, but they're sick." Yeah, they need a doctor. They need a Savior. Secondly, when you have mercy, you're going to start viewing people differently. Our culture wants you to put people in categories. Oh, you're a Democrat. You're a Republican. You're of this race. You're of that race. Our culture wants you to start putting people in categories and marginalize some so you don't have to like them, right? Jesus says, when you have mercy, you're going to view everybody through the lens of mercy. That person, you've never locked eyes with a single person who doesn't matter to God. And if you're worried about how people in the world view others and like to listen, here's what you need to know. Here's your assignment. Show mercy. Go have mercy. Be a friend. Show them the kindness of Jesus. Every single person. When you have mercy, you start reading the Bible differently. You view people differently. And listen, you view Jesus differently too. Because let me tell you something. Jesus is more concerned with your future than your past. Well, I'm sick. I made all kinds of mistakes. Okay. He says, I've come for you. Jesus is not the kind of person who just goes around pointing out problems. Anybody can do that. Jesus is not the kind of person who just goes around pointing out problems and failures and sin. Anybody can do that. He comes to bring what? Mercy. Let's start over. Let's wipe the slate clean and let's build a better future. That's our great God. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is a mercy champion, and he invites us to follow him. He invites us to receive it and share it. Freely we've received. Freely let's give. My friends, thank you for being players in what God's doing locally and globally. And if you haven't yet received the mercy of Jesus Christ, it's for you today. And if we can help you take your next step in that direction, listen, you just check a box on that communication card. Or when it's time for prayer today, and people are praying with some of our elders down here, you just come up and say, hey, listen, I need a Bible study, or I'm ready to be baptized, or I want somebody to just help me come to know the mercy of Jesus Christ. All right?